Matthew 28. Today is the movement. Friday we had the moment. Saturday was the silence. And today is the movement. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted him. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority." Someone say, "All authority." Oh, come on, we can do that like we're Pentecostal. Say, "All authority."
All authority.
Amen. All authority. All authority. Not some authority, but all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Great Commission. May God bless the reading of his word. Today we're discussing the movement. What is the movement, some may ask? The movement is the mission. The movement is the mission that God established many years ago when he told his disciples, go into the world, discipling people, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's funny because when I was reading and I was doing my studying this week, I realized that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, before then he told them greater works you're going to do. So he never ever really left a ceiling on top of this mission. The mission has no ceiling on top of it. The movement has no ceiling on top of it. To be honest, the movement is too big to keep into one building. The movement is too important to be left in one building. God is too big to be left just here. But God has to travel, well, the Holy Spirit has to travel all across the nations. And he assigned us, he commissioned us. Someone say commissioned. Come on, someone say commissioned again. He commissioned us to step out into this mission. Earlier this year, Andrew and the Hub did a session on commission to mission. We are commissioned to missions as Christians. Do you believe that today? We are called to create disciples in the name of Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and leading them closer to Jesus. This is the movement that we're all a part of. And the movement that we're all a part of is a movement of sacrifice, is a movement of love, but there's sacrifice included in it. When the works were already done on Calvary and Jesus died on the cross, it was very clear at that moment when he said to his disciples previously, "It's better that I leave so that I can send my spirit." It makes more sense now more than ever before. That as we are partnering with the Holy Spirit, we are together and we are collaborating with him to create this movement and to create this mission and to accomplish this mission, because we can't do this ourselves, but we can do this together. Come on, I'm going to say that again. We can't do this ourselves, but we can do this together. It's very easy to think you can do something by yourself. But the reality is you can't do it by yourself. This movement requires church. This movement requires the church, I should say. The body of Christ coming together in one accord, lifting up the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So why am I saying this today? Why am I bringing this why am I saying this today, really? I'm going to be real. I'm a type of person that loves collaboration. I love working in teams. I love working in teams where we can get things done together. And I'm not really a Marvel type of person, X-Men. To be honest, the only show I really watch is a show called Money Heist on Netflix. It's a show about Robin Banks, but I'm quite into it. It's actually great. You should watch it. But in that show, there's a guy called the Professor. The guy called the Professor assembles his team. His team is a team of, I'm going to call them creative robbers. They're very expressive in how they do robbery. And he created this team. He selected them individually. He selected them based on their abilities. He selected some people because he knew other people were stronger than the other person. And other people had things that the other people didn't have. And basically, once he assembled this team, he put them in a room, in a classroom. And he said, all of us have to wrap around this mission so that we can accomplish this mission. In other words, we all have to unite and be together with a common goal, which in the series is to rob a bank, Now, were they successful in robbing a bank? Yes. But this is what my point that I'm trying to make is, imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ came together on one accord, with one goal, with one mission. Imagine, take 2 seconds and just imagine if race didn't matter. Imagine if culture didn't matter. But imagine if the only thing that mattered was the movement, which is the mission, the Great Commission. Imagine that was the center of our thinking, the center of our moving, the center of everything. The world will change. But we have it backwards, or I'm going to say this prophetically, we've had it backwards, because I believe after today, we are going to come together and move together. But we've had it backwards because we think there's a separation between what you do and what you do and what you... No, we are together. We are together. We are one body, worshipping one God, one living God. We're not separated. You're my brother. We're not separated. We're one. And when we come together with one common goal, we can change the world. I will prove it. If two or three are gathered, the power of agreement... The power of agreement. If me and you shake our hands and we make a deal, we're going to get this done. We're going to get this done. Who wants to get it done in this building today? Who's tired of not getting it done? We have to get it done. We have to get something done. We have to get something done. It's 2024. This year, we're going to get something done. Why are we going to get something done? Because the kingdom has to advance. The kingdom has to evolve. The next generation have to be better than my generation. Greater works. I'm amazed by the movement that we are involved in this church. This church is a movement church. I've been in this church since I was 2 years old. This church is a movement church. And I know it's a movement church because I lived through the movement of this church. But I know God's not finished. To be honest, He's just getting started. He's actually just getting started. We've closed too many chapters prematurely. When God's just getting started, who are we to end something we never started? We're just meant to follow it, rally together, be a part of it, and just be together. Yesterday during the silence, there's a script, there's a line that says, the silence of one day changed the world forever. The silence of one day changed the world forever. But it didn't change the world for the world to stay still. It didn't change the world for the world, for us as Christians, to remain static. God died on that cross 2,000 years ago. So that we can have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The story of Easter can be looked at through many perspectives, but I like looking at the story of Easter through a perspective of sacrifice. The Father sacrificed his son so that we can live, so that we not may die, but we may have eternal life. This is the movement. We are the movement. And it's time to move. I'm going to be very real. It's time to move. It feels weird because every time they give me the mic, I'm telling people to move. But I just like moving. I hate standing still. I hate standing still. I hate being still. Because every time I'm still, I feel like I'm not getting something done, that I should be getting something done. every time I'm still, it's not that I'm moving because I care about being successful. I was going to say a word, Scott. Tuesday meeting. Yeah. But reality is, I couldn't care about being successful because I care more about being fruitful. I care way more about being fruitful. And to be honest, what does the Bible teach us? They will know us by our... Come on, we can say that better. They can know us by our... And this year, I believe all of us got fruit. There's seeds that were planted a couple of years ago, maybe in a few months ago, and they're going to turn into fruit this year. Pastor Andrew did a... While he was praying, he gave you guys a white piece of paper. If you haven't thought of anything to put on that white piece of paper, I want to encourage you to write down or think of one thing to put on that white piece of paper that may be holding you back. It could be something small, but it doesn't matter what it is. But I want you to think about it. Because when the veil was torn from top to bottom, the moment the veil was torn top to bottom, we gained access. The moment the veil was torn, the veil, flesh, was torn from top to bottom, spirit was breathed into this world. And I want to symbolically say, the moment you tear that piece of paper from top to bottom, I want to prophetically declare that whatever was holding you back is now gone. From top to bottom, you have been set free, and from top to bottom, you are free. So if you have that piece of paper, just hold it in your hands real quick. If you don't have a piece of paper, wave and we'll try and get you one. You don't have enough spares. Okay, I don't have enough spares either. There's some over here if you guys need some. Bless the name of Jesus. Jonathan, where you at? Let's get the worship team back on. Well, just the keyboard player for now. Praise the name of Jesus. Sin has been paid for. Death has been paid for. So if it's been paid for it, why are we still holding on to it? Why are we still bound to it? Why are we allowing the devil to arrest us with things that he doesn't even have authority over? The devil has no authority over our minds. The devil has no authority over anything you think. Your mind has been set free.